Sure. And, you know, lots of times when you think about investments, you know, you're thinking stock market, mutual funds, annuities, retirement, 401ks, blah, 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 you know, which all that stuff is great. You know, all of it sounds the same to me. You know, it's all you're putting money somewhere that you can't touch for a long time and it'll eventually come back to you. You know, that's what I think about on that. But, you know, when we think of investing, you know, we usually think of money. And, you know, in the world system, money is exalted to the highest place. But see, in God's kingdom, what's exalted to the highest place? People. People are most important in God's kingdom. And as Christians, we need to be investing in people. If we're truly going to have the heart of God, if we're truly going to, you know, be doing God's work, we're going to be investing in people. And basically what we mean by investing is just adding value. We need to be adding value to other people's lives. There's so many people out there in the world that are takers, that every time you're around them, they're just taking, taking, taking. Whether they're asking you for money, that would be your kids, your teenagers. They're asking for money, you know, or they're demanding of your time or demanding of you emotionally. And there's a lot of takers out there. And as Christians, we need to be investors. We need to be givers. We need to be adding value to people, not taking away from people. Because that's what Christ did when he was here on the earth, is that he added value to everyone around him. He was constantly looking to invest in other people. And I believe that it's, as Christians, that's what we need to be doing, is, you know, we need to be investing. We need to be adding value to everyone around us. And most importantly, we need to be adding value for our kids, to our teenagers. And that's what we're going to talk about today, is investing for the future, is that we need to be investing in the future of our kids and our teenagers. Now, you know, like I said, we all need to be investors, whether you're a parent, whether you're a grandparent, whether you're a single person, whether you're married and never had kids, it doesn't matter. We need to be investing in kids and teenagers. This is not just a sermon for the parents. It's not just a sermon for the grandparents, but it's for all of us, because all of us have something to add. All of us have something to give. And let me tell you something. Our kids and our teenagers are very valuable. And they're waiting for someone to invest in them. They're waiting for someone to show interest. They're waiting for somebody to pour into them. And so that's what we're going to talk about today, is investing in the lives of our kids and our teenagers. And so, and really, this is part of the growth process as Christians, or in life in general, is that, you know, we have to have a season of learning, you know, to where we're soaking in information, we're soaking in things like that. And then we have to have a season of doing. You know, the Bible says that faith without works is dead. You know, you can learn all you want about the Bible, but if you don't do anything with it, you're not growing. You're not going anywhere. It's dead. It's worthless to you. And so this is the growth process. We have to learn. Then we have to turn that learning into doing. We have to turn that doing into teaching. We need to be able to invest into others what we know, what we've learned, what we've been able to do in our own lives. We need to be able to turn that around and put that into our kids, to put that in our teenagers, to put that into the next generation so that they can go further than we could ever go on our own. That's what investing is all about, is pushing them beyond what we could go on our own. And so they need to be able to start where we've stopped and take it even further. And so we need to be investing in our young people. Titus chapter 2 is kind of our base scripture today that I want to look for. And basically what this is Paul writing to a young pastor. He's actually a pastor on the island of Crete. And if you've studied your Bible and kind of looked into anything, Crete is one of those countries that you don't want to be a pastor. You know, And actually, in the Word of God, it says that, you know, the people of Crete, you know, they're sluggards and they're lazy and they just don't want to do anything and they'll cheat and they'll lie. And I mean, this is what it says in the Bible about these people. And let me tell you something. I don't want to be their pastor. You know, that's going to be a tough church to pastor. And so Paul is writing to Titus, the pastor of this church, and just encouraging him and giving him some guidelines. And we read this in Titus chapter 2, verse 1. It says, "As for you, Titus, promote the kind of living that reflects wholesome teaching. Teach the older men to exercise self-control, to be worthy of respect, and to live wisely. They must have sound faith and be filled with love and patience." Now, is that usually something that you have to teach an older man? Yes and no. I mean, hopefully they've learned that. But he's encouraging him to invest in the older men. This is what I need you to invest in the older men. He says, similarly, teach the older women to live in a way that honors God. They must not slander others or be heavy drinkers. Instead, listen to this, they should teach others what is good. These older women must train the younger women to love their husbands and their children, to love wisely and to be pure and to work in their homes and to do good and to be submissive to their husbands. Then they will not bring shame on the Word of God. In the same way, encourage the young men to live wisely, and you yourself must be an example to them by doing good works of every kind. Let everything you do reflect the integrity and seriousness of your teaching. And so we can see Paul encouraging Titus to invest, to add value to these people. He says, add value to the older men, add value to the older women. Teach the older women to add value to the younger women. He said, encourage the younger men to do this. And I love what he said. He said in verse 6, he said, and you yourself must be an example to them by doing good works of every kind. And this is what investing looks like. This is what we're talking about today. So I want to answer two questions today. Number one, why should we invest? Why do we need to invest in our kids and teenagers? And secondly, how? How can we invest? And here in the middle of this, I have a girl that's going to share her testimony. And I'm excited about this because it's a young lady here in our church that has been invested in. And she's growing. And I'm excited to see what God's doing in her life. And the best part about it is, she's an investor already as a teenager. And I see her investing in people already. And I can see God doing huge things in her life because she already knows how to invest. So let's talk about this. Why invest in our kids? Let's say this, that someone is already investing in your kids. Someone is already influencing your kids. Someone is already teaching your kids something. We need to be in control of what our kids are learning. We need to be in control of who is influencing our kids. We need to be involved in this. Because someone's already influencing them. Someone's already investing in them. See, kids these days, they're pulled in so many different directions. There's so many things that come into their lives and so many temptations and so many voices in their life that they can be pulled in so many different directions. See, research shows that the parents have the loudest voice in their kids' life. The parent is the biggest influencer in the kid's life, whether good or bad. See, there's something about the parent that kids automatically just soak in from. They automatically learn from them. Whether they're teaching them or not, they're learning from you. They're seeing what you do. They're listening to what you say. They are already learning. You are teaching your kids something. Why don't we be purposeful in what we're teaching them? Why don't we be purposeful in how we're influencing our kids? See, they need a constant in their life. See, they hear messages at school. They hear messages when they go to work, when they're on the ball field. There's a lot of messages they hear. They need to hear a constant message from you. One of love. One of acceptance. One of God and how much He loves us and how we need to serve Him and put our heart and the soul into serving God. See, we need to be the constant voice in their life because they're going to hear lots of stuff. But they're always going to come back to what they've heard at home, what they've learned at home. The Bible tells us to teach our kids in the way they should go. And when they're old, they will not depart from it. This could be good or bad. Because one thing I've noticed as I've watched some kids grow up and become adults and begin to raise their own kids is that they always revert to what they learned at home. What they heard as they were growing up. Because we've seen people come into this church. You know, they get saved. And God does a miraculous change in their hearts and their lives. But there's still that childhood teaching that pulls at their hearts. And lots of times it pulls them away from God and the church. Because of something that they were taught in their past. Something that they could never get over. Whatever it is we're teaching our kids, it sticks with them forever. You are the most important influence in their life. You are the loudest voice in their life. See, our kids need both mom and dad. They need both voices in their life. There's certain things that dad can impart into their kids, and there's certain things that mom can impart into their kids that only they can do. But see, sadly in our nation, that it's more common to live in a broken home, a home where your parents aren't together anymore, than living in one where your parents are still together. And so those voices are separated. There's lots of kids that don't have a dad in their life. See, this is where the church needs to step up. This is where the church can take action. Because there's kids in this church, there are young men in this church that need a father figure. There's men all over this church that can fill that role. That need to fill that role in those lives because they need a voice of a dad. They need someone to encourage them in their sports and whatever it is they're involved in. They need someone to look at them and say, "Son, I'm proud of you. Son, I love you." See, this is why this is a message not just to parents and grandparents, but it's a message to all of us. Because we all need to be investing in kids and teenagers, no matter if they're ours or not. We need father figures in the church. But right now, I'm going to have Miss Brittany come up. She's going to share her testimony with us real quick. And I had another one lined up for today, but he couldn't be here. And so, but that's okay. She's texting somebody right now, right before she gives her testimony. But no, that's okay.
I can't even see. Let me see. Okay. Hi. I'm Brittany, as most of you probably know. So last week, Joe came up to me and said, "Do you want to do your testimony for me?" And I said, "Sure." And I was just thinking, you know, this is going to be easy because I've done this before. I've spoke it, saw you at the poll and everything. But then God was like, "Well, see, I want you to talk about the last year of your life instead." And I was like, "Typical, God, typical. Thank you. Yeah, okay." So I believe the reason that He wanted me to talk about this past year is because it's been the first time I've really been challenged in my faith and in just everything, really. But it's also been a major time of growth for me. Okay. So about a year ago, I'm shaking, I'm sorry. About a year ago, I found out that my mom was cheating on my dad. And it wasn't something that was told to me. It wasn't something that just came about. I found out by myself. And so for a couple days, this weight was laying on me of, am I going to tell my dad? And am I going to confront my mom about this? And that's a heavy weight. I can tell you that. But I told my dad, I confronted my mom first, and she was pretty defensive about it, and she obviously wasn't going to tell Dad. So I just thought, well, guess I'm going to have to do it then. So I did. And then Dad really wanted to work it out. And I gained a lot of, I already respected my dad, but I gained so much more respect for him after that. Because that is a tough thing to do, is to keep loving someone despite the pain that they've caused you. But Mom just didn't want to do it. And so during the summer, my mom left and left our house. And that was, and at the same time, I was being accepted into my school, Arkansas School of Math, Science, and Arts. And so that was another thing that I had to worry about. And so, let me think. And so I went to school with all of this on my mind, and at the same time, knowing that I needed to go to this school and be a light to shine. And I was just thinking, you know, how, with all this stuff going on, am I supposed to be a light? I felt like, you know, when you have a fire and you put sand on it, that's how I felt. But, you know, God said to me, you can do this. This stuff in your life doesn't have to affect how you shine to other people. And so I was really, and my school is really tough, so I had a lot of stress there too, not just with my mom. So on one side, half the time I had this mentality of, how could someone really love me? If my own mom can't stay to love me. And as you can see, that's kind of a hard thing for me to think about. But God said, I will never leave you. And he said, there's no pit of darkness that is too deep for my love to reach. And he said, I will never leave you. I'll always be faithful, and there's nothing I will do to hurt you or treat you badly. And that's something I'm still trying to accept, is that God's here for me, and he's not going to leave. And then with school, once I kind of, you know, started being better about the whole parents thing, school started weighing down on me, and stress, and I'm not making straight A's, and I'm not doing very well in my presentations, and it's just so much. And God said, Brittany, my vision for you is bigger than a C in chemistry. My vision for you is bigger than who your parents are, what your past is, what your grades are, or even what college you go to. I'm bigger than that. And his not only that, but the vision that he has doesn't just overcome those things, but it goes way further than we could ever imagine. If you let God take control of your life, then he's going to take you further than you even thought you could do, and you'll end up doing things that you never saw yourself doing, like this. And it's been a really, and growth has come into my life, and my prayer life's become better because of the praying circles. That was a big thing for me, and I get to be the co-president of the Christian club we have at school and the head of Bible study, and God's really provided for me, and God can provide for you, and your light doesn't have to go out because of the people around you. There's a proverb that says, the whole world can be dark, but it can't shut out the light of one candle. And that's what God's shown me.
Thank you, Brittany. Wow. I had no idea what she was going to share. I was just trusting God on that one. I think we did all right. No, but let me ask you something. What would have happened in that situation if someone hadn't invested in her beforehand? See, lots of times what happens is the crisis hits and all of a sudden we scramble to make things work, to make things happen, to start investing. And it's almost too late at that point. See, we need to be ahead of the curve. We need to be putting God's word into our kids' heart. We need to be adding value to our kids every single day. So when the crisis hits, we'll be more prepared. We'll be more prepared. And, wow, how can we invest in our kids? How can we invest in our kids? What we need to do. See, our kids need certain things in their life. They need three things. Well, they need a lot of things, but you know, your kids need time. They need your time. It's so easy to, when you get off work, you know, they come home from school, do homework, get dinner ready. All this goes on and you spend 10 minutes with your kids before they go to bed. We need to be spending time with our kids. They need to know that we are interested in them. We need to be interested in our kids. We need to know what's going on in their lives. We need to spend time. It's like, well, I spend quality time with our kids. Well, how can you spend quality time if you're spending 5 minutes with them? See, quality time comes within your quantity time. You can't just say, we're going to spend quality time together and go do something for 30 minutes and say that was quality time. See, quality time happens within all of the time that you spend with them. See, they're going to have teachable moments in your quantity time that become the quality time that you spend with your kids. Your kids need your time. Your kids need your love. They need your attention. One of the things that Ella started doing to me, like she's trying to talk to me or tell me something, and I'm busy doing something, she'll just grab my face and turn it right towards her. So I'm looking at her right in the eyes. Our kids need our attention. It's so easy to be sitting here playing on our phones and texting and, you know, doing our work, you know, that we don't give our kids the attention that they need. They need our undivided attention. There's times that we need to turn off the TV, put down the cell phones, put everything away, to spend time with our kids. Give them our attention. Give them our love. They need to know that you love them. They need to hear you say that. They need to hear the words, I love you. I'll be sure I tell my kids every day, I said, I love you, Ella Rose. I love you, Owen Cooper. Of course, they just look at me like, okay, you know. But I'm investing in them. They're going to know that their daddy loves them. They're going to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that their daddy loves them and that he's there for them. The last thing your kids need is they need to be taught. They need to be taught. And lots of times what parents end up doing, thinking, well, I don't have anything to teach them. I don't have the education. No, they need to know what you know. They need to know what you know. You know how to do a lot of things. You know how to wash the dishes. You know how to take out the trash. You know how to cook a meal. You know a bunch of stuff. You need to teach your kids. You need to spend time in teaching your kids what you know. Within those times of teaching them what you know, there's going to be bonds built. They're going to feel that love. They're going to feel that attention. They're going to feel like that you're interested in their lives. You need to be interested. You need to be involved. You need to be a teacher to your kids. See, one thing that I believe, you know, one of the reasons I think that we're seeing so much of the teen depression and teen suicide these days is that they don't feel like they're important. They feel like they're nobodies, that nobody cares, that if they disappeared, it's no big deal. And sadly, so many teenagers today fight depression. What they need is our attention. They need our love. They need to feel important. They need to know that they matter to us. You know, it seems like around here the past several years, you know, we've just had a crazy amount of suicides going on. And it's so sad to see that happen. And you know, someone came up to me, what do we need to do? You know, and you know, people put on awareness things. And there's lots of things out there to help kids and teenagers that are facing these things. But most of all, they need parents that know, that invest, that love, that spend time. And I'm not trying to say that the parents of these kids, you know, they didn't do that. I don't know the situations. But I'm saying you increase your protection. You lower the risk of that the more time you spend, the more time you invest, the more time that you make them feel special. Those other things will go down. They won't be as big of a thought in their minds because, you know, my parents do love me. You know, those people at church, they do love me. That's what I love about this church. You send your kids back here to children's church. They're not just back there being entertained. They're not just back there playing games. But there's some people in there investing in your kids. They're loving your kids. They're telling your kids, I love you. I'm proud of you. Man, good job. You're important. They're pouring into your kids right now. When they come on Wednesday nights, there's a group of adults doing the same thing. They're saying, man, you're important to us. We love you. We're glad that you're here. And we're pouring into the lives of kids. But sadly, lots of times it's the church is the only ones investing. And we've got them for an hour and a half every week. See, it's so important that we are investing in our kids. We are investing in our teenagers every day at home. That we make that a priority in our lives. That they know beyond of a shadow of a doubt that we're proud of them. That we love them. That we'll always be there for them. See, we need to be investing in the future. And there's some kids in this church that don't have the father figure. They don't have the mom in their life. That's where the church can step up and help out the single mom that's struggling with their teenage boy. The teenage boy is wondering, you know, they're trying to find their identity. They're trying to find who they are as a man, but there's no man in their life to guide them. So that's what I loved about when we did men's fraternity. It encouraged us to invest in our kids, and it encouraged us to invest in our marriage. It taught us to be men of God. Not be a man like the world says, but be a man who steps up and takes his responsibility in his family. And I know some of them men that went through that have what it takes to be mentors to some of these young men in this church that don't have a dad. And I want to challenge you to step up. I want to challenge you to step up. If you want to do that, come talk to me. I have a handful of that I can hook you up with. I would love to facilitate some of those relationships that you can begin investing in some of these young men and women right here at the church. Guys, we need to be investing. We need to be purposeful with our time with our kids. Let's pray. God, we love you. Thank you so much. God, that you invested in us. God, that you loved us.